Part of my message tonight is talking about all the preparation that goes into Christmas. I've already been transparent with you and said sometimes I get overwhelmed by the season and the everything that has to get done and all the places you have to go and all the people you got to see and all the things that need to take place. But we should stop and appreciate it before it gets here. We got a couple more days until the day that we celebrate it. And think about all the preparation that goes into Christmas and the music that we sing. I know many of you look forward to singing Christmas songs. I tried to sing some that have been in the book the whole time, but we've never sung them before and tried to celebrate in that way. I told a couple people, one year I was being the Grinch a little bit, and I said, what if we just sing two Christmas songs and then we'll sing one that's not a Christmas song? Nobody liked that. They want to sing the Christmas songs. And there's a preparation that goes into every part of Christmas. I don't know about you, but when you sit down for a Christmas dinner, at least for a little bit, you should think about what it took to get all that food ready and ready to eat on the table. Even if you go out shopping, I'm not the best Christmas shopper, but I think about the shelves in the stores, and when something goes on sale, if you think about Black Friday, and everybody, all the shoppers are getting in the store, and somebody has to put all that stuff back on the shelf, and somebody has to put it back together when it gets returned and make it ready to sell again. And somebody has to keep track of all that. And I think of all the preparation, even in the as the world celebrates Christmas and the decorations and the buying and selling and all the things that we do this time of year, all the before it gets here, the preparation. Again, watching the program today, I thought a lot about the hard work that Lucy did. I thought about Nancy making all those were Lego heads, and she had a hot glue gun and made all those faces for the kids to wear. And I thought about the parents that practice with the kids, so we could watch them for half an hour and think about all the hours and hours of work and preparation that many did, so we could enjoy what we enjoyed. So before Christmas gets here, I want you to think about the mindset that Mary had when the angel talked to her. First, she said, it's not possible. And the angel said, well, it's possible for you because God is going to do it. And you have a cousin, and they said it was impossible for her, too. She is in her old age, and she was called barren. But God had worked a miracle for Elizabeth. God had worked a once-in-ever miracle in Mary, the virgin birth. And God's messenger said, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And then Mary praised God, and Mary gave thanks. And later on, there's the song that she gives of thanksgiving. And Mary decided right then, before Christmas, before the baby was born, before the preparation and the celebration, Mary decided to be thankful in the before Christmas. I mentioned Elizabeth. Elizabeth had John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, and he got to prepare the way for the Savior. He got to say, he must increase, but I must decrease. He got to be the one to tell people about Christ, the one to show that picture in baptism. And God saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And all that happened in preparation for Jesus. And as we get ready for Christmas, let's all prepare the best we can by searching our hearts, searching our conscience, and asking God to prepare us. The same way Mary said, well, it doesn't make sense to me. It seems impossible to me. But with God, nothing shall be impossible in the future. Nothing shall be. I believe God's going to do it. And if we prepare our hearts in that way and say in Psalm, it says, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Mary said, I'm not sure how this is going to work, but God's going to do it. And many of us in our own thoughts, our own attitudes, again, the Grinch, all of us in our attitude at this time of year, can say, you know, I can do my best to find that wicked way to try to make it right, but God's going to be the one to do it. I have to ask God to search my heart and know my thoughts. And I have to ask God what he thinks is wicked, and I have to let God be the one to create that clean heart. God expects that of us. He doesn't expect us to do it on our own. The angel didn't say, Mary, you're supposed to have a baby, and that's it. He said, no, God's going to work this impossible thing within you. God's going to do it. And each of us, as we prepare for Christmas, if we do get a bad attitude, if we do have a negative spirit, we need to ask God and say, that's not what the angel said, and that's not what Mary said. With God, nothing shall be impossible. So before it gets here, number one, prepare. Search your heart. Ask God to search your heart. Decide to be willing and decide to be joyful that you get to be a person that gets to tell somebody else about Jesus. God gave us a great gift in Jesus Christ, and we get an opportunity. We get to, we get to share him with other people. We get to tell people about our Savior. We get to tell people the same thing the angel told Mary. With God, it's impossible, but with God, nothing. With man, it's impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. Again, that renewal, that preparation is the same spirit that was the power that Mary was thankful for. That spirit is what we need in our hearts, in our minds, before Christmas gets here. In the next chapter, in Luke chapter 2, hopefully you'll get to hear it in the next few days and you'll get to read it, the Christmas story. When Christmas came, there's three times all of us can appreciate something: before, during, and after. Again, Mary had an idea, and Mary, I believe, knew a lot of what was going to happen. I believe she knew she had heard of Messiah. She did not picture it being her, but I believe she was able to imagine and somewhat appreciate what was going to happen before it happened. And then as we read the Christmas story, you know the outline of it. The shepherds came. They were in Bethlehem. And at the end of, in verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And the verse before that, verse 19, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. It shows a willingness that while you're in the midst of the miracle, while you're in the midst of what was unfamiliar, again, they were not in their home, they were in somewhere else, they were not in an inn, they were in the manger, they were there in an uncomfortable place, and they were there where it was not normal for people to reside. And then a bunch of companies showed up, and the angels told everybody where they were, and it was it could have been seen as, I wish this was different. I wish this part of the experience was different. Mary might have said it, if God had put me in charge of this whole thing, I would have done it a different way. But even in that, whatever she was feeling, even in that time, she was able to observe and keep these things and ponder them in her heart. And Emmanuel means God with us, Matthew 1. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Jesus said he'd be with us always when he gave the Great Commission. He said, I won't physically be here much longer, but I will be with you always in the way that it matters, in the way that it's important. God is with us. The Bible says in Deuteronomy, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee, fear not, neither be dismayed. Speaking of our Heavenly Father. In every area of life, God is with us because of what Jesus did for us. We have a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. We have that in Jesus Christ because of Christmas, because as we talked about in Sunday school, because of obedience, because of willingness to be used by God, God was able to use Mary. And because of Jesus' willingness to go to the cross, we're able to say, I am a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I have a home in heaven. I have victory in Jesus right now. I have eternal life right now. I get to appreciate so much of my eternal life before I get out of this temporary life. We have God with us. We have God in us as Christians. The Bible says in Colossians, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And appreciate it right now. Appreciate it in the midst of it. On Christmas, appreciate the blessings that God has put in your life. Again, it's great to look forward to something. It's great to look forward to putting something together, seeing all the pieces and looking forward to it working together. Again, Mary said, here's a miracle with Elizabeth. Here's a miracle that God's going to work for me. Won't Joseph be surprised? And she thinks of all these things that are going to have to come together so Christmas can happen. And God blesses us in the before God blesses us during, and he lets us have those opportunities to see, to comprehend, and to ponder. We always, I don't all the time, but sometimes we'll joke about other religions and people that talk about meditation. You know, I make the joke about om, and you close your eyes and you make that noise, and we kind of joke about it. But the Bible talks about meditating on the Word of God and putting aside distractions. Every time we have the Lord's Supper, it was a lot easier to do when I was a kid, believe it or not. But when Pastor would say, put aside all the distractions, don't worry about what you're going to do later today, don't worry about what you're going to have for dinner. And as a kid, I would be like, well, I don't really have any plans, and Mom's in charge of dinner, so I don't have anything to put aside. But the older we get, the more distractions get in our way. And we think, well, on purpose, I have to meditate on purpose. I have to ruminate, and I have to ponder on purpose, even while I'm in the midst of it, in the midst of the blessing, in the midst of the trial. I want to see how God is working. And Mary is our example of that. During Christmas, take some time to ponder all that God has done for each of us. And then when it's over, and again, there are parts of this time of year, I still have to confess, I'll be glad when it's over. I like to pack things up and put them away. I was thinking about putting all this, I, and again, appreciating people, Laura and all the people she recruits to help her with the decorations. I like putting the platform back together during like February when there's only like one flower, and not when there's like 15 poinsettias down here, and you know, all the stuff. I like when all that's put away. But after Christmas, it is don't when you put away the decorations and you put away all the toys that the kids stop playing with and you clean up the trash and everything, keep some things in your life. Don't put away telling people about Jesus. There's still going to be people that need to hear about Jesus in January and February when it's negative 27 degrees outside and when everybody's grumpy. There'll be plenty of opportunity to be kind and to show kindness and love and mercy. There'll be plenty of opportunity to spread peace when Christmas is over. In fact, you might get more opportunity later after Christmas is over than you have right now. You might have more opportunity and more free time to realize what God has done for you and to ponder it and to share it with others. Think about Mary and Joseph. The shepherds went back to their job. They had sheep to take care of. The wise men, they had made this trip. They had brought their gifts. They had an idea. They thought of who the king would be, who he'd look like, and they had a good time of visiting Jesus. But then I'm assuming they didn't stay there with Jesus. They went back home. The angels, we read about Gabriel, and Gabriel got to be God's messenger. And the angel got to bring the message. There was a heavenly host that got to give glory to God in the highest and give peace on earth. But they had a message to deliver, and then they had to go back to heaven and see what God had for them to do next. Mary got to stay there. Joseph got to stay there. If you read on in Luke, and after the Christmas story, they still had a lot to learn. And the Bible says that Jesus increased in favor with God and man, that he increased in stature. There were stature. There were things that God was going to use Mary and Joseph to train Jesus, to as much as they could to teach him. Again, we can only imagine what it would be like to have him as a child. But their story was not over when Christmas was over. They had things to think about. They had things to experience. The Bible says that when they were in the temple, Jesus was with the teachers, and he was asking them questions, and they had what they expected to happen, and Jesus did something a little bit different all throughout his life. He always kind of did something a little bit different than was expected. So when you get to through Christmas, remember all the characters, but remember there were some that didn't leave Jesus' side. There were some that realized there was more to the story than just the birth. And hopefully as Christians we can say the same thing. God, I'm looking for that next opportunity. I'm looking for that next ability that you're going to reveal to me. The same thing still applies. Before Christmas, with man it's impossible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. It still applied on Christmas Day. With God, nothing shall be impossible with God. And then it applies when Christmas is over, when everybody goes back home, when all the decorations are packed up and all the food's put away, and we can stop and say, it's still the same God that we serve. It's still the same teacher that God has given us through the words of Jesus Christ. There's still a will that he has for each of us to do. And it's still impossible with man. We can't do it on our own. But with God, nothing is impossible. And again, that way we go back and say, prepare my heart. Get me in the right mindset to enjoy Christmas, to appreciate everything that God has for us. It's the same thing after Christmas. We have to go back to God and say, remove that wicked way. Prepare my heart again. Lord, I've been out in the world. I've been around people that that don't express their love the way they should toward you, and I've let that influence get in my life. Again, create that clean heart. Search my heart. Know me. Tell me where that wickedness has crept in, and before, during, and after, help me to appreciate what you have done for me. You have done the impossible. You've done what man said was not possible. But as the angel said to Mary, with God, nothing shall be impossible. And that's how I want to close tonight. There's something in each of our lives that up until this point we've said, not possible, not going to happen. It can't be done. I got convicted this morning. Pastor gave a very eloquent thank you, and then he mentioned his diet, and I made the joke about saying, I'll take the first part and not the last part. But there should be no area in Adam's life and your life where you say, not possible, not going to happen. With Adam, it might be impossible, but with God, nothing shall be impossible. And again, if we look at our life that way and say, you know, I have my opinion about how things work, but I haven't checked with God in a while. I have my opinion about how much I'll appreciate somebody and love somebody, but I haven't checked with God in a while. And each of us need to do that in every area of our life. All kidding aside, we should say, God, I've always said this is impossible, but I've never asked you your opinion. Is it possible? Is it something that you want to work in my life? It might be forgiving somebody in your family. It might be changing an attitude, changing our behavior. It might be a dedication to holiness and saying, God, I look at how much you've used me in the past, and look at how little I've yielded myself in this area. How much more could God use me if I just said, it's possible with God. I believe he can do it. So whatever, we're going to have an invitation in just a second. Whatever God's spoken to you about today might be nothing that I've said. It might be a testimony or a song. But as we still have time before it's here to appreciate what God is going to do at Christmas. We have time to appreciate why it's going on. And when it's all over, there'll still be people that need to hear about Jesus. And there'll still be a heart that needs to be made right. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and patience with us. Help us to examine our own hearts. Help us to ask you to examine each of us and see if there's something that you say is wicked, if there's something we need to agree with you about to get it right. Before Christmas gets here, help us to say what the angel said. Impossible maybe with man, but with God, nothing's impossible. Help us to view each day of our life that way, each relationship in our life that way. Say, I don't see a way. And Mary said, I don't see how this is going to work. And the angel said, well, God's going to do it. And we might look at a situation in our own life and say, I don't see how it's going to work. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. Pray, bless our invitation. Thank you for everybody that had a part in the service all day today. Bless our time together. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.